In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So today we commemorate the beheading of the prophet, forerunner, and Baptist John. And before we get into that gruesome event, it is good to perhaps talk a little bit about who he is. He is the one that the prophet Isaiah spoke of, one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the path of the Lord." He was a prophet from the womb, leaping even before his birth at the presence of Christ in his mother's womb, being a witness, an evangelist, even before his birth. He is the messenger of God that the prophet Malachi speaks of. We don't have this depiction on our icon up here, but often he's depicted with angel's wings, precisely for this reason, that he is a messenger of God, an angel of God. He is our Lord's cousin. He is a very early example of the ascetic life, living in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey, who along with the Theotokos shows us a great example of Christian self-denial, a reminder that the pleasures of this life are fleeting and nothing to be desired compared to the joy of life in Christ. He embodied this idea that it's not about me, but rather, as he said about Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. St. John, as most of us know him, was a Baptist. He baptized many, preaching a baptism of repentance. And when our Lord came to him to be baptized, he initially refused in his humility, saying, "It is I who must be baptized by you." St. John is a martyr in his beheading. And even more than that, he's an evangelist to those in Hades, preparing the way of the Lord even in death, preaching the coming resurrection of Christ. Now in today's commemoration of his beheading, we behold a party. It's a most unfortunate and sinful banquet for Herod Antipas, the tetrarch and ruler of Galilee. It's a very stark scene. Now Herod was not without discernment of St. John. He knew him to be a holy and righteous man. And yet he disliked John severely because John rebuked him. He reminded him of his sins. Now Herod's wife at the time was not actually his wife, but his brother's wife, Herodias. And John reminded him that this went against the law given by God. And for this, Herodias sought to kill John. But fearing this holy man, Herod put John in prison and prevented any further harm from coming from him while he was there. So Herod has this tension within himself. He knows that St. John is a holy man, and yet he is embroiled in his own passions. In fact, this whole party demonstrates this. At this party, you see gluttony in the food and drink that is consumed. Adultery is present in the relationship of Herod and Herodias. There's a lustful response to the dancing of Herodias, his daughter. Herod is prideful and refusing to take back his offer to give the girl whatever she wanted, up to half his kingdom, even though he knew it to be wrong. And ultimately, murder, beheading a righteous man. Now, the fathers of the church do not mince words when they describe what took place here in the hymns that we heard last night in Vespers and this morning in Orthros. They remind us that Herodias had lost her self-control, and Herod was troubled. And in describing the atmosphere, they speak of profane and lewd dancing, intoxication, and cunning. They point out that Herodias had not sought eternal life, but a life that is false and fleeting. That Herod has condemned to death because of his satanic passion the one who reproached him for his adultery and lust. And then addressing Herod directly, the fathers of the church say it would have been better for you to break your vow and not carry it out, receiving life, than to remain true to your word in beheading the forerunner. Now, as Herod was called to acknowledge his sin and repent by St. John, so are we each day in our lives. And often this takes the form not of someone who comes up to us and say, adulterer, or glutton, or I'm sorry to whoever ends up at the end of my finger. It was unintentional. Or one who harbors anger or anything else. Usually it's not so direct. In fact, usually it's our own soul that convicts us. Because usually this takes the form of those in our lives, those around us, becoming mirrors for us and reflecting our own shortcomings back at us, challenging us to draw near to Christ in our interactions with them rather than further engaging with sin. Our spouses and children, for those married adults and parents, are prime examples of this. And so are fellow Christians, those who, like us, struggle to live out their faith. Now, when I perceive that someone has wronged me, I have an opportunity to follow St. John's example, allowing Christ's presence in my life to increase and my own sinfulness to decrease. I also have the opportunity to emulate Herod in adding sin upon sin. Can I respond in humble love and forgiveness, acknowledging my own many sins rather than condemning the sins in that person or that person? Or do I respond in anger when that condemnation fails to satisfy me and turn to gossip as well? If I do this latter example, condemning others, getting angry, gossiping, I succeed not only in executing this fellow loved one in my heart, but also in asking for their head on a platter of myself and of the others with whom I gossip. Christ said, you have heard it, that it was written, or said to the men of old, you shall not kill. And whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And even more so in our interactions with non-Christians, It's very easy to say, well, look at them. Look how terrible they are. I'm trying not to point at anybody this time. But how can we say that? How can we hold them up to the standards that we ourselves don't even live up to? And they have not even accepted the love of Christ, nor do they have the grace of baptism as we do. But rather, in those cases, we should have pity on them and pray for them that they may come to know God. Now, St. John came preaching a baptism of repentance. He came to prepare the way of the Lord. And in our commemoration of him today, let us go forward in repentance, looking to our own sins, giving up the false and fleeting pleasures for the eternal joy of life in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.